But that on the good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This exegesis on a Sunday, one more Sunday, and then Lent begins, Ash Wednesday. So when it's Lenten time, I remind you that all Catholics from the age of 40 have to abstain from meat on Ash Wednesday and the Fridays of Lent. And those who are aged 18 to 59 are obliged to fast Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, even by the current rules, traditional rules, oblige that also on the other weekdays of Lent. Fasting means, of course, in the mitigated sense, when we say the church fast, it means main meal of the day as usual, whatever you wish, but if you have two other meals normally, they should be reduced to not equal another main meal and nothing to eat in between. That is obligatory for all Catholics over 18 and under 60. So get ready for that. And traditionally, of course, it's 40 days, the starting Ash Wednesday. So we have another week and a bit of freedom to get ready for this traditional spiritual battle. Last week I spoke about sloth, which is both a laziness on one hand and a sadness about the efforts it takes to please God and to stay in His grace. Obviously, St. Paul from today's letter was not guilty of sloth. He was super energetic, spread the faith to the ends of Europe, and suffered a great deal. So today we go from sloth to gluttony. And of course, St. Paul speaks about being in hunger and thirst, fastings often. Okay, we don't often imitate that. But we should. It used to be almost one third of the year, or the weekdays in the year, were fasting days back in the Middle Ages. Every Saturday, the vigil of every feast day. So that's long gone, but that means that we get out of the habit of fasting. Just to prepare you for Lent, fasting is the ultimate remedy for gluttony, but it's also a tremendous benefit for expelling demons, keeping them at bay. Jesus said that there are certain demons that will not be expelled except through prayer and fasting. And for gaining very special graces. Well, gluttony is not just an excessive desire for food and drink, but it becomes so overwhelming for people that St. Paul says, their God is their belly. Now, gluttony, any excessive desire or eating or drinking in some excess, is not mortal sin. It's usually not mortal. But it's still capital because it can lead to so many other sins. Eating and drinking for the mere pleasure of it. Being dainty or squeamish about our choice of food. I mean, today it's epidemic, this gluttony, with the children demanding special dishes for everything and rejecting what the parents prepare for them. Eating more than is necessary for our health or work, being over anxious about our meals, eating and drinking ravenously like mere animals, breaking the laws of fast and abstinence, living to eat rather than eating to live, and of course taking more liquor than we can stand properly. These are common manifestations of gluttony. We have to be careful not to judge other people, though. Everyone has different metabolic responses and needs for their energy supply. One can imagine St. Thomas Aquinas, who was exceedingly overweight. They had to cut out a piece of the table for his belly to be... Thomas Aquinas was very overweight, but he was not gluttonous. It was a, I don't know what the condition was, but he was once at table, and they put in front of every monk a little jar of oil for their light at night. And he was so abstracted, he just drank the oil. So he was very abstemious, although he was overweight. The point is, don't judge people. But Lent is not just a time for dieting or the health benefits of fasting, of which there are many. Medical experts will tell you that fasting or intermittent fasting is very good for your health. And Lent is a great period of purification for body and soul. So I'm just hoping you prepare for this season and to do more than the absolute minimum required. So by the current laws, since 1983, in the church, only 2 days in the year, are Catholics between 18 and 59 obliged to fast. It's not very much. So it's best to take on board some of the older rules and customs. Gluttony can become a mortal sin in the following cases: the one who makes a god of his belly to such an extent that all his pleasures are those of the table. Or if one should seriously injure his health by gorging himself with food or drink, it's not so common, except when the drink is alcoholic, that's when it becomes a big problem. Liquor or recreational drug use can become excessive and exceedingly dangerous. So these fall under the restrictions of gluttony. Of course, if a man breaks the laws of fast and abstinence merely for the sake of satisfying the urge to eat and drink, the laws of fast and abstinence bind under mortal sin. If a man wastes money and property to buy unnecessary food and drink, frequently the drunkard sins seriously in this way. So, for instance, a man who was wealthy and has his children, but then he drinks all the money away or gets into bad deals and loses everything at the casino, it's through his gluttony. The family is ruined. The children suffer, although they're not guilty. They suffer for their guilty father. Remember Eve in the garden, when she started listening and dialoguing with the devil, then she noticed that the fruit on that forbidden tree was really attractive and desirable. It looked good, so she ate it. It wasn't gluttony that led her to her sin, it was her pride that led to her gluttony. And then the devastating consequences. An image of gluttony in the New Testament, there's two. One is King Herod at a drunken party, the dancing girl, and then he promised half of my kingdom. Ask me anything and I'll give it to you. And so she, Salome, asked for the head of John the Baptist on a dish. So his gluttony led to a rash oath and then murder, or lust as well, besotten by the dancing girl. So it's all connected. But the gluttony of King Herod is manifest here. And in the parable of St. Luke chapter 16, our Lord speaks about the rich man who feasted every day with special rich dainty fare. And his gluttony led him to just ignore the poor miserable beggar at the gate, Lazarus, who was just hoping for some crumbs or scraps from the table of the rich man. So again, Jesus says this man went to hell, the lower hell, to burn forever, never to have a drop of water to cool his burning tongue. And so he didn't go to hell because he was rich. It wasn't because of overeating that he went to hell. It was because of what it led to, being merciless, hardening the heart. Fattening the flesh, hardening the heart, goes together. Or pampering the flesh, hardening the heart. Also, it's a mortal sin if by overloading the stomach, a man makes himself unfit for his work or his serious duties. So, God himself gave the pleasure. He gave us how many thousands of taste buds in order to enjoy the food and drink that he created and that we must use for growth and for health. But the pleasure is connected to the doing of the duty of consuming what we need for a sufficiency of strength and health. So this, to restrain the tendency to gluttony, it's the virtue of temperance, and that's different to fasting. So it may be the virtue of temperance, for instance, in one individual situation, not to have a second helping or not to have a second drink, that's temperate. To make a rule for yourself that you'll never leave the table full, but always with room for one more slice of bread. That's temperance, which moderates gluttony. Even on Thanksgiving Day or great feasts, eat what you want, but leave room for one bit more. That's temperance, but fasting goes beyond temperance. That's to have even less than what is suitable, what is sufficient. It's having a little bit less, making a little sacrifice. Thinking of the fast, and we're preparing to relive the fast of our Lord, his 40 days. As Lent comes upon us. So the glutton is the one who perverts the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And that's all they're looking for. The pleasures of this life, as our Lord said in today's gospel, it chokes the seed from growing. When we are given over to the pleasures and the riches and the cares of this life, we yield no fruit. And if you compare that with the beginning of St. John 15, our Lord makes it clear those Catholics who do not bring forth fruit, they will be cut back, bundled up, and burnt. So all those branches of the church that are fruitless will be punished accordingly. And our Lord says even one glass of water can be bring you a reward in heaven. If you give a glass of water to someone in need for my sake, this will be rewarded in heaven. So even the littlest thing we do, even preparing for Lent by little hidden sacrifices, not something that will annoy other people. St. John Bosco made a rule for himself. He'd go to a lot of parties, he'd be a lot of social events. He just made a rule for himself as a general thing. He'll have one glass of wine, he'll stretch it out, he won't allow a refill. That's temperance. So we must pray for that. We must weaken the power of the flesh because it leads to so many other, particularly impurity. Gluttony, sloth, and impurity are all linked up. So beg the good Lord to help us control this instinct. So many people are given to it, and doesn't always lead to mortal sin, as I said, but frequently it can. Beg God to help us be temperate, especially when we're about to eat or drink. That's why we pray at meals. Pray so that we remember why we're doing it. We must try to... If your family... At least more days than not, at least the main meal together without any electronic interference, no distractions. And when you observe the traditional rules of etiquette at table, it's meant to restrain the gluttony and to help us grow in many other virtues. So one holy priest said that civilization was built up around two tables, the table of the altar, the sacrifice of the Mass, and the table of the family home, whereby the daily sacrifices are made. We practice self-denial in other things, in little things. We will conquer our great temptation. Avoiding the occasions of sin, particularly those who go overboard whenever they see alcoholic liquor. Avoid the occasions of sin. Avoid those companions who urge us to go to excess. Think of the 40 days of fast of our Lord, his agonizing thirst upon the cross when we're tempted to exceed. And think of the horrors, horrible excesses and harm that it does to body and soul. It brings about poor health, untimely death. Look at the end of chapter 12 of the book of Acts, how King Herod died swarming with worms, horrible exhibit of his gluttony. Brings on lazy habits of mind and body. It leads to excesses of the other lower appetites and weakens the will as well as the body. So these are the motivations we should have to fight this particular problem. We all have, as I said, built into us a need and a desire for the pleasures of this life. Let them be moderated. Let them be at times foregone for a greater good. And let us in these last 10 days before Ash Wednesday prepare ourselves for the great spiritual Olympics, the great spiritual boot camp we're about to undergo, and have great devotion to Our Lady. One good thing when you're at table, think about Jesus, Mary, Joseph, as if they're present at table with you, and that will help you keep that holy restraint. Whether you eat or drink or do anything else, do it all for the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.